Proverbs chapter number 28. I know today is a big day in our country, in our nation. A lot could be said about our founding, the founding of our country and the signing of the Declaration of Independence, which really wasn't just a signing of a Declaration of Independence from England and Britain and all of that, but it was a signing of the Declaration of Dependence. Those that signed it was testifying, and many of them give testimony, they were depending upon the providence of God. They was depending upon God to move. The verse that the Lord has directed our hearts to seem maybe a little odd for the message this morning, but I believe that we have a detailed description in this verse of Scripture of what has happened and what is happening to America. And I believe we can see that when we read the verse. The Lord showed this verse to me when at youth camp. I began to, I was reading one day and I seen that and this verse that I'm going to read out of Proverbs 28. And I really didn't know I was preaching it this morning, but the Lord just really wouldn't let me loose with it. Wouldn't give me liberty on nothing else, so we're going to go with it. And I don't know if I can get it all done this morning, but that'll be fine if not. And it'll be fine if we do. But Proverbs 28, the Bible says in verse number 4, they that forsake the law praise the wicked. What a statement. What a description. They that forsake the law praise the wicked. Now that is going to be true whether you're applying it to a nation, whether you're applying it to a city, whether you're applying it to a home, whether you're applying it to a church, or applying it to an individual, they that forsake the law praise the wicked. Verse number 4 says, goes on to say, but such as keep the law. I'm glad for this latter part of this verse as well, because it lets me know that there is an alternative to the first part. It lets me know that there is a difference. You don't have to be in that first group. You don't have to be in the law forsakers, but rather you can be in the law keepers. Amen. You don't have to be in that crowd that praises the wicked. You can be in that crowd that contends with them. Amen. Verse 4 says again, they that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. Let's bow for prayer. Father, help us this morning as we look into the Word of God. Father, I thank you for speaking to my heart with this verse of Scripture. I pray that you will prick our hearts, convict our hearts here this morning about our need and about our relationship to the Word of God, as well as our relationship unto the wicked. Help us, our Father, to be what you want us to be. Save sinners, stir the saints. Thank you for the red, white, and blue. Thank you for our country. Though as sick as it is, I still believe the greatest country, Lord, upon the face of the earth. And it's all because of your grace and your kind hand and your mercy unto us. And no doubt because of the light of Christianity and the salt of Christianity. No doubt about it. But Lord, the light, Lord, is getting more dim. And the saltiness is losing its savor and is ineffective. Lord, I pray now that your will be done. Stir up the saints here at RBT for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. They that forsake the law, and I know that this verse really is not just can be applied to the nation, as I've already talked about, but I believe it describes it. And you've lived in America long enough that you can see that this describes America. They that forsake the law. They that have denied and discarded the Word of God. Yes, I'm talking about America, where the Word of God many years ago was thrown out of the school. Prayer thrown out of school. I mean, the Word of God just cast aside when it was the founding guideline for this country. The founding fathers were not, listen, the founding forefathers, and specifically those that signed the Declaration of Independence, they were not heathens. They were not wicked men. They were God-fearing Christians. Amen. Amen. And that is what our history is. That's what our country was started out being, is emphatically Christian. And but they that forsake the law, and if a nation does, then the next part will be true. They that forsake the law praise the wicked. That's one statement. That's one statement. In other words, if you do the one, the other will be. If there is the first part, there will be the second part. If you forsake the law, then the second statement will likewise follow, and that is, you will praise the wicked. And I believe it's very evident. Sad to say, it's very evident, Brother Frankie, that in our country, USA, United States of America, the envy of all other countries. I'm sad to say this morning, that this country has forsaken the law and this country is praising the wicked. Amen. It's very evident on the national scale that that's what's happening. Amen. God wrote it down in the book of Proverbs that that's what will happen. That'll happen to a nation. That'll happen to right on down from a national, all the way down to an individual. That if you forsake the law, which is your relationship with the Word of God, deals with your relationship to the Word of God, then the Bible says, then what will come in its place, what will come in behind that forsaking of the law, my friend, will be a praising of the wicked. In other words, if your attitude changes toward the Word or the law, your attitude will also change toward the wicked. Amen. Amen. Come to preach this morning. Amen. Not to pass out lollipops. That's right. But I'm telling you, they that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. So it's very evident in this verse of Scripture that your relationship to the wicked reveals your relationship to God's Word. Amen. All I have to do is look at your attitude. All I have to do is look at your actions. All I have to do is look at your association. All I have to do is look at your fleshly appetites and see how much of the wicked is influencing you, how much of a connection you've got with them, amen, and with that lifestyle and with that influence, and that will give testimony of your relationship to the law, the Word of God. Because the Bible says, they that forsake the law. See, the devil knows Brother Robbie's got to deal with that point before he can get the wicked influences influencing you. Before the wicked can influence you and pull you into their lifestyle, my friend, he's got to deal with the law in your life. He's got to deal with that law. He's got to get you severed from the law. Got to get you cold toward the law. Get you inconsistent toward the Word of God. Amen. If he can do that, then then that opens the door. See, the Word of God is what keeps the door closed to wickedness. Amen. Someone said it this way about the Word of God. The Bible will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from the Bible. Amen. So all I have to do is just look at that, at your relationship to wickedness, and it will reveal your relationship to the Word, because the law has got to be forsaken in your life and mine or our church or our nation before we can open the door for wickedness. And our country has done that and is doing that. Amen. Very few that's in politics. Very few. There are some, thank God for it. Amen. There's one, I can't remember his name exactly. I think he's from Texas, Republican from Texas or something. I'm telling you, I've heard him speak a few times, and I'm talking about in the house, and I mean quoting verses, have his Bible up on the stand. And I said, I'm telling you, he's more of a preacher than a politician. Amen. But thank God for the voice of somebody that's willing to buck the system, that's willing to stand up for what's right and try to keep at least a little bit of some of the standard of our country instead of just going with the flow. Amen. Thank God for that. But you know what? That's not just happening in politics. That's happening in the pulpits. You know as well as I do, and you don't listen, you don't have to go to another county. You don't even have to go to another town. Amen. To find this out, that it's also happening in the pulpits. Preachers have quit preaching. They've started philosophizing, they've started storytelling, and telling people how good everything is, and just filling people's minds with all of this positive stuff while they're living in sin. Amen? God help us, amen? But that's what the Bible says, that they that forsake the law praise the wicked. So our relationship to the wicked reveals our relationship to God's Word. And there are only two options here given in the text verse. One, you're either praising the wicked, or two, you're contending with the wicked. Don't expect much shouting this morning. Are you listening to the preacher this morning? I'm telling you, there's only two options that you have as an individual, we as a church, toward the wicked. We're either praising them or we're contending with them. Now there's no third category in the verse. There's one or the other. You're one or the other. Which would you give a vote by your life to be? Contenders or the praisers? Praising the wicked? Amen. And after the Lord showed me this verse and I looked up definition and stuff, I'm sad to say I believe that we've got folk, even in RBT, that's praising the wicked. Not with your mouth. You wouldn't dare stand up and say, I just want to thank all the wicked people in the world. They're wonderful people. You're not doing it verbally. You're not doing it verbally. But you're doing it. Hello? Amen. So there's only two options. You're either praising them, and that's what we're going to build the message on, and that's what I'm preaching on, is praising the wicked. That's the title of the message, in case some of you wondered where in the world I'm going and what I'm preaching on, because I certainly want you to know what I'm preaching about. Amen. When you think about, listen, when you live like the wicked, you're praising them. You're drawing attention to them. Amen. And so on and so forth. I'll deal with that a little bit later on. You know who are not here this morning? The wicked are not here this morning. The wicked don't go to church. So very simply, right off the bat, you don't want to be like them, don't want to praise them, don't want to give attention to their lifestyle, then be faithful to the house of God. Amen. That's right. Well, that's just a little bit of where we're going, but, some of you are feeling, preacher, I feel a little sick right along now. Yeah. But the other option of praise, and I'm going to be building the message on that, but the other option is to contend. Contend with them. You know what the word contend means? It means to cause or to engage in strife. Boy, you don't hear that message coming off of the religious television. You don't hear the smooth-talking preachers on to television telling you that you need to contend with the wicked. No, they preach all this lovey-dovey stuff. Well, God said that we, as God's people, if we keep the law, the result of that is we're going to contend with the wicked. We're going to cause and engage in strife. The word also means to excite oneself against a foe. You know why God's preachers today, many of them, let me rephrase that. God's preachers are still preaching.
Amen.
that many of the preachers, so-called preachers, are not preaching against wickedness and against sin anymore is that they do not look at the wicked or wickedness as a foe. The reason, come on now, y'all might as well say amen. Because this might be a long morning if y'all don't get in here and help me. Amen. That's exactly right. But I want to tell you, a lot of preachers will not preach against it because they don't recognize that it's a foe. Carnality is treated as a friend. Worldliness is treated as a friend. Trends that are established and started by wicked people that are infiltrating our churches are not preached against. They are not stood against. They're treated as it's A-OK. Amen. But the word contend means to engage in strife, to excite oneself against a foe. Are you listening? To wage war. God help RBT to wage war against wickedness and against the wicked. Amen. Or put it on the sign. I'm not saying to do it, brother, but we ought to. Amen. RBT is waging war against wickedness. That'd be alright, Brother Silas. Write it down. Amen. Amen. But you probably might ought to wait before you put that up till we make sure our church is with us. Because it'd be bad to put it on the church sign and then some of the other war wagers, amen, against wickedness comes in here and said, in fact, I'll just say it this way, not too long ago, I had a visitor ask why I was allowing somebody to sing in our church because they knew something about them. You know what I wanted to do as a pastor? I wanted to crawl in a hole. A visitor that's probably not even saved said, I can't believe that so-and-so's singing. Hello? So, Brother Silas, wait till you put that up there till we got the church with us. And I don't know how many days, weeks, months, or possibly years it'll be before we can put that sign up on the sign, that staying up on the sign. Keep the tape running, Brother James. Are you listening? I've tried my best to talk, Lord, now let me preach this morning. I said, Lord, I want all of our people here to preach this. So I might have to preach it again next Sunday. I didn't say I was. I said I might have to. We might have a whole lot of people on vacation if I said I was going to preach it again next Sunday. Waging war. That's what the Bible says. But now you, nor me, nor anyone will wage war against wickedness if we are not keepers of the law. Read it. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law, what do they do? Contend with them. So your relationship, what determines which side of the fence you're on, 100% in our text verse is determined, my friend, by your relationship to the law, whether you're forsaking it or whether you're keeping it. Right, how many people treat the Word of God so casually, never read it? I've never seen a carnal person have a relationship with the Word of God. Never seen it. I've never seen a carnal person be right with God's Word. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but they that keep the law, listen, they that keep it are those that contend with the wicked. Amen? So there's only two options. Either praise or contend. There's only two prerequisites that determine which, and that is you're either forsaking the law or else you're keeping the law. God's people are changed people. God's people, when you get saved, are changed. Not just at church, you are changed. Sis testified about the one getting saved on, Hannah getting saved on Wednesday night, already seeing fruit at the house. Amen. If there's no fruit at your house, there probably won't be no fruit at this house. Amen. First place you ought to show up is at your place. Amen. At the house, those that live with you ought to see the difference in your life. Amen. But it's very evident that I think that in America, as well as, sad to say, in our churches, that wickedness is being glorified and righteousness is being crucified. That's another saying, Brother Silas. Amen? Isn't it very evident? Am I out in left field preaching this? Am I in the right church preaching this? Am I in the right country preaching this? Huh? Oh, wickedness is glorified. Most of all of the legislation, Brother Bob, going on in our world concerning laws and legislation, my friend, is catered to the wicked. Putting down the Christian, crucifying the cause of Christianity, and glorifying and liberating and tolerating wickedness. And it's sad that it's creeping into our churches. It's sad. Amen. God's people, the Bible says, hates sin. Amen. Hates evil. It's what Scripture says. Listen to what the Bible said in Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalteth a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. The very thing that is being glorified and being legislated and given laws and protection is the very anchor, and my friend, that's going to hold back and sink our country. And I know what some of you are thinking. Preacher, you're just a little preacher, and we're just a little church, and we're just in a little town. We're just a little speck on this dust ball called earth. What difference can we make? My preaching this morning, I can preach up one side and down the other about America, and it'll never get to Washington, probably. But you know what? I'm not preaching this message to change America this morning. God did not give me this message this morning to get our president saved. He probably won't never get a tape. He probably won't never get a CD because he's not interested. Amen? Because I'm a Christian and not a Muslim. I'm reading out the King James Bible this morning, not the Koran. Say amen right there. Amen. That's right. I'm not preaching this morning for the national scale. If I get a chance to go to Washington or take a pulpit and preach to politicians, I would not hesitate to preach what I'm preaching the way that I'm preaching this morning. But my focus is not national. My focus this morning is church. Amen. Amen. Keeping what's going on out there. What is it, preacher? I believe we got it said in our text. They that forsake the law praise the wicked. I want to keep that out of here. Because I done read it to you. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. If sin gets in a nation, it'll destroy it. If sin gets in a church, it'll destroy it. If sin gets in a home, it'll destroy it. If sin gets in a marriage, it'll destroy it. If sin gets in a young lady, it'll destroy her. If sin gets in a young man, it'll destroy him. My friend, there's nothing good in the Bible said about sin. It's left a path from Adam and Eve in the garden all the way through to the present day of destruction and devastation and misery and regret and broken lives. And why is preachers not preaching against it? Because it's not popular. Amen. And as it's been said, I've said it too, a lot of preachers won't preach against it because they're living in it. I saw one of their local preachers in town the other day, and had he not identified himself as such, I would have never known he was even a Christian, much less a preacher. Hello? Please do me a favor this morning. fire me and run me plumb out of the country if I have to verbally tell you that I'm a preacher. Now, I'll give you the invitation right there. Give me my walking orders. Just say, preacher, it's time for your departure. You're living in a way out in public. You're dressing in a way out in public. You're talking in a way out in public that has disguised your calling. You're out of here. You'd be doing your church a favor and me too. Amen. That's right. So, preacher, what did you eat for breakfast? Same thing as I always did. It's not what I eat. It's who I've been talking to this morning. Amen. Jesus, amen. Righteousness exalted the nation. And of all churches in the country, this one ought to be the one saying amen. I've been here 18 years preaching the same way I preach now. And you know what? This church ought to be saying amen, preacher. Are you listening? It is sad. I mean, I can take you to a church not far from here. I had an experience somewhat with it just recently, not with the church, but with... Well, never mind. Just listen to the illustration. Amen. I wasn't aiming to use it. And I know that pastor's been there for many years and preaches against everything and lives clean and I mean, tries to walk the path of righteousness. And I saw people in his church out in town dressed so immodest and so wicked. You know what that is? That's preaching that is not heeded. What do we think preaching is for? Is it entertainment? We just kind of either laugh at it or cry about it and then go home and forget it? No, preaching is God sending a message through His Word, through His servant to us to challenge us, to convict us, to clean us up, amen, to do something with us and for us. And boy, I thought how many years I've been standing right here in this pulpit preaching the Word of God. I mean, listen, right here, I have stood right here hundreds and hundreds of times. No telling how many thousands of messages that I've preached, scheduled and unscheduled here, between offerings, after the offering, before the offering, between songs, giving announcements, thousands of messages. I'm telling you, some of the best things that God ever says through me comes through in the announcement time. And then still yet, how many people do we have in the church that seemingly just goes right on opposite of what's preached? Well, we're going to have a time this morning. Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Whose God is the Lord and the people whom He hath chosen for His inheritance. I want you to listen to this verse. Y'all ready? Say amen. Isaiah 60 verse 12, for the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee, talking about God, shall perish. Hello America, listen to that. Hello church. Hello family, individual, we better hear that. For the nation and the kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. Righteousness exalteth a nation. Righteousness is so powerful that it will affect a whole nation. Righteousness exalteth a nation. America, my friend, didn't just fall off of the hill. A nation of America, my friend, has been exalted by righteousness. Amen. And our country, dear friend, is going at a breakneck speed away from righteousness. In fact, Brother Mark's been doing an excellent job teaching on the emerging church. where there is no absolutes and there's no real truth and everybody's right in their own eyes and you know and all of that. And that's where we're at, and that's what most people want. People don't want to hear a preacher get up and preach like I'm preaching this morning. Some of you don't even like it. Amen? My flesh don't like it either. Amen? I'd rather get up and preach on the glory. I didn't get this message out of a book. God gave it to me, so if we don't like it, we'll have to take it up with Him. This was in your bulletin, and I wrote it down. I got it on my before me here. I sought for the key to the greatness and genius of America in her harbors, in her fertile fields and boundless forests, in her rich mines and vast world commerce, in her public school system and institutions of learning. I sought for it in her Democratic Congress and in her matchless Constitution. Listen to this. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secrets of her genius and power. The fingerprints of the church are all over the founding and establishing of this great country. It was the church house and not the White House that charted the course of greatness for America. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. Amen. 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 America's hope rests on the shoulders of God's preachers and people, not on politicians. In the beginning years, the church led the country, but now it seems that the country is leading the church. Are you listening? Amen. Leading the church. The cart is before the horse. Nothing short of a great awakening from God can even attempt to reverse the course of the church and country. Generally speaking, churches are getting farther and farther away from righteousness, and this country is following. Until we repent and return to preaching and practicing. Whoever authored this, and it is authored by someone, it is in quotations. Listen, they put both them together. Generally speaking, churches, it says, until we repent and return to preaching and practicing righteousness, neither will this country. I've got before me here quotes of founding fathers and presidents and Supreme Courts and all of that. I'm going to tell you, friend, our country was established, was influenced. Listen, the Declaration of Independence, my friend, was influenced by preaching and by preachers. Preaching and preachers, my friend, influenced the course and direction of the early America. But when the political world quit hearing from the preaching world and saw in the pews saw the unpracticed preaching, guess what? Politicians started going the opposite way. Are you listening? Listen to this. I wasn't even give this morning if I can get it right here. I want to give this to you. Talking about preachers and talking about our founding leaders. Benjamin Franklin got so involved, my friend, in the Great Awakening. Benjamin Franklin got so involved that he built a 30-seat auditorium just for the purpose of Jonathan Edwards to preach in it. Hello? How much you think 30,000 seat auditorium would cost? He built it for the purpose of preaching. Amen. I heard the other day, and I should have wrote it down but didn't, how many things that were written in the Declaration of Independence that comes from preaching and comes from the Word of God. I think it was like 27 or something. Yeah. The church influenced our country in its beginning. The first building built in any settlement was the church house. As a testimony, if we have anything, if we need anything, we need the church. We need the light of the church. We need the salt of the church. We need the influence of the church. But as I stated it here, instead of the nation following the church is now following the nation. Instead of the church influencing the nation is influencing the church. There's so much carnality in our churches. There's so much worldliness in our churches. It's a wonder. I mean, really, and I use the word carefully, it's a wonder that God ever meets with us. If He wasn't a God of grace, He'd never meet with us. Amen. And He don't meet with us, listen, He don't meet with us for approval. Never has He ever met with me, Brother Jeremy, personally or in church, to where it was an approval. I'm doing this because of how you're doing. You doing good, so I'm blessing you. No. Every time God's helped me, touched me, blessed me, met with me, it's been grace, it's been mercy to move me, to challenge me, to go from where I am to where He wants me to be. Amen. Amen. Christianity, which is the church, has immeasurable influence in the birth and beginning of America. And as the church goes, so goes the nation. Instead of a nation, well, we never said that. Instead of a nation following the church, church following the nation. Amen. Voice is big in my heart. Are you listening? I want you to listen to this right here, if I can read it, find it right here. I want to read this statement. I've got so much up here, I want to read it. Listen to this. John Quincy Adams said, no, see. Woodrow Wilson said this. A nation which does not remember what it was yesterday does not know what it is today or what it is trying to do. We are trying to do a futile thing if we do not know where we came from and what we have been about. One of the early ambassadors of America, Charles Malik, if I'm pronouncing his name right, made this statement. The good in the U.S. would never have come into being without the blessings and the power of Jesus Christ. The irrefutable truth is that the soul of America is at its best and highest Christian. Hello, Washington! Who would have ever thought that we would have a Muslim as a president? And we'll not stop till the Muslim flag's flying over the White House. You mark my word. Amen. Only in America. Only in this sick country. That the ragheads can fly terrorist planes into the World Trade Centers. And then allow that very same religious bunch that promotes the belief system behind it to put a mosque at ground zero. Only in a sick country. And you think for a second that this preacher is going to allow this country to influence me and how I dress, the music I listen to, and the way that I live. Negative. Amen. Amen. It ought to fire you up. Wickedness and wicked people ought to fire you up to stand for the Word of God and contend with them. It was stated earlier that Brother Mark did that Jude says we are to earnestly contend for the faith. If you're not standing for it, you're standing against it. If you're not helping us in our cause, you're hurting us in our cause. Amen. And all of us have that potential. Amen. Woo! We're having the time this morning. 1892, Supreme Court said, Our laws and institutions must necessarily be based upon and embody the teachings of the Redeemer of mankind. Amen. It is impossible that it should be otherwise. And in this sense, and to this extent, our civilization and our institutions are emphatically Christian. Amen. That didn't come from a pulpit. That comes from the Supreme Court of the United States of America in 1892. Can you imagine that being stated now? Let me give you three things to consider quickly. Y'all bet all you can handle anyway. I'm not going to get to where I really want to go. But listen to this. Let's just suppose you hear this on the news this evening. The first thing that you might hear, let's just suppose you hear. You are not going to, but just suppose. Quote, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court has just issued this statement. Divine providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers. And it is the duty of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. What if we heard that this evening? Actually, that was stated by John Jay, the very first Chief Justice and the father of the Supreme Court. What if you heard this on the news this evening? Inquiries of our reporters reveal that almost every state legislature has now passed a law requiring all elected officials to take this oath. Quote, I do profess faith in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, His only Son. And I do acknowledge the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be given by divine inspiration. What have you heard that on the news this evening? That was, and it still may be, I don't know, but that was at that time given as part of the state of Delaware. And many other states had that same oath that their rulers had to sign in with. What if you heard this? Legislation was passed today in Congress to affirm that the Congress of the United States approves of and recommends the Holy Bible for the use in our public schools. What if you heard that this evening? After you passed out and woke up from being passed out from shock, what would you think about it? You'd probably say, that's absurd. I never heard such. Well, in 1782, the Congress made that very statement. I'm talking about right here in our country. If you pulled, and I'm not a history buff, and that's to my shame, but if you, just what little I know, if you were to pull our history out and look at just some of it, compare it to our present day America, it would not even look like the same country. Wouldn't even look like the same country. And it all, listen, it all has come down to this one thing. They that forsake the law praise the wicked. Not punish the wicked, not restrain the wicked, not reprove and rebuke the wicked, but praise the wicked. You know why the wicked are coming out of the closet and Christians are going into the closet? Because that's the crowd getting praised and the Christians are the crowd getting persecuted. A lot of people today in churches are not standing for nothing. They have no convictions of their own. They have no... Listen, I'm not talking about everybody. Praise God, God's always had a remnant. God's always had a nucleus. God's always had a group, a crowd, a some that would follow Him. Amen, come what may. And I want to be listed in that. I want to raise my hand publicly. I want it to be on record. Again, amen, after 29 years of being saved, thank God 49 years old, that I'm still numbered with the redeemed. I'm still interested in righteousness. I'm still interested in pleasing God. And I hate carnality, and I hate worldliness, even if it's in my life. If you don't hate it in your life, you won't hate it out there. Amen. If you allow it in your heart, you won't mind to allow it in your home. Amen. Hello, come on now. If you don't mind wicked carnality and wickedness and worldliness being in your mind, you won't mind it being in your mate. Say amen right there. Jonathan Edwards and all of those people, my friend, that preached in the early days, and John Charles Wesley and Billy Sun and all them, my friend, listen, you know why that they had such an influence? There was a crowd of people in this country that was interested in preaching. They were interested in principles of the Scripture, and they were interested in righteousness. They really had this idea. Preacher, if there's something wrong in my life, if it's in that book, preach it, and I'll try to line up. But we, Brother Klepper, we've got a generation today that don't care what is preached, nor who's preaching it. They're going to do their thing. They're going to live their life. They're going to go where they want to go, do what they want to do, listen to what they want to listen to, watch what they want to watch. Amen, amen. Run with whoever they want to run with. And I want to tell you, they have no regard for righteousness. I want to tell you, a lot of those people are L-O-S-T, lost. L-O-S-T, lost. Amen. Amen. Birds of a feather flock together. If you hang with them and they love you and you fit in, you're one of them, you are not saved. Amen. You don't have enough breath in your lungs to convince me you know God. Say amen right there. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't enjoy preaching like this. And I don't choose how I preach, no how. It's either there or it's not. And I've had good liberty to preach this morning. They that forsake the law, and it's happening, and it needs to be preached against, it needs to be stood against. Amen. And God's people, of all people on planet earth, God's people ought to be keepers of the law instead of forsakers of the law. Amen. Well, well, what do you think? Think it's time to go eat? George Washington said this in his farewell address to the nation, "Do not let anyone claim tribute of America's patriotism if they even attempt to remove religion from politics." Can you believe I just read that? George Washington said that. And look what we've got in leadership. I don't care. You don't like it or not. Amen. It's the truth. And the truth will stand when the world's on fire. You don't even have to be an American now to be in leadership. Well, praise God anyhow. That's what he said. Patrick Henry said this, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly nor too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists but by Christians, not on religion but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." Amen. How many of you young people has read those statements in your history book? Get your history book in the public school system at any grade level and find God in it. I challenge you. Hello? I'm talking about in America. I mean, who has the right to say that's not going to be in history? If it's in history, it's history, whether we like it or not. It's facts. If it's history, it's facts. And to take it out of our history books is a on purpose revolt against God to try to take God out of the minds of this next generation. And now we've got just about generation on the scene now that knows nothing about God, cares nothing about God. And then when we stand up and preach like this, everybody looks at us like a dying camp in a hailstorm. They look at us like an oddball, Brother Jeremy. They look at us like, what planet did you come from? What rock did you crawl out from under? Amen. But I've done been in this thing too long. Amen. I've been swimming in this river too long, my friend, to be interested in compromise and changing. I'm not interested in it. I'm not interested in it. I'm not interested here, and I'm not interested nowhere else. I'm not interested in it. Hey, man, that's right. We could lighten up, and we could calm down, and we could not contend with the wicked, and say nothing about forsaking the law, and all of that. Don't preach nothing about keeping the law. And I want to tell you, this place will be packed and jammed like a lot of churches. Amen. Amen, but I'm not interested. You hear me well. I'm not interested in building a church. Amen. God never called me to build a church. God says build a people. Amen. Build a people and that will build a church. Right. You listen, let's just receive the challenge from the Lord. Let's just receive it. Let's just receive it right now. Amen. Everybody in RBT, choose and commit to walk in paths of righteousness for His name's sake and see if our church don't grow. See if it don't grow. Amen. If righteousness will exalt a nation, what will it do to a church? If sin will destroy a nation, then what will it do to a church? Well, amen. Let's all stand on our feet. They that forsake the law, praise the wicked. Heavenly Father, Lord, use the Word of God to stir our hearts. Lord, I wish this morning, all through the message, it was on my mind, I wish that all of our church was here. I wish every young person was here. Every married couple here, every member here, every visitor that faithfully comes, we're here today. Wish it were. Lord, our church, Lord, our country has drifted so far. But I know for a fact, Lord, that your people, the church, we're not going to be broken and burdened over the direction of our nation. If we're not broken and burdened over the direction of the church. Lord, the church, if we compare today's church to Acts chapter 2, the early church, there's very little to any comparison. The early church majored on purity and holiness and fellowship with God, doing the will of God, serving God. Lord, today's church is just a convenient place to go. Lord, we need revival bad. Lord, I do not believe for a second that You birthed this message in my heart to depress us and to defeat us. I believe You birthed this message in our heart to arouse us and to stir us and to wake us up. Lord, we may not have the eye nor the attention of a nation. But we're here in Rogersville, Tennessee, and we do have the eye and attention of a lot of people in this area. God, help us to live in a way to show it, that would reveal that we are not forsakers of the law, but rather we are keepers of the law. And that we're not interested at all in praising the wicked, but rather contending with them. Take the message, stir and speak to our hearts with it. In Jesus' name we pray.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.